Rows of old film studio buildings reflected in a shiny gold surface. As the surface turns, it's revealed to be the edge of a shield with the letters WB in its centre on a blue background. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. Six-letter Vs form the logo of Village Roadshow Pictures.
I was just off the 16th Greenwood Tube, and he was buried in a bunker.
Jeannie's been working so hard on the Junior League charity
post. Oh, come on.
You've got to help me with the committee.
Of course I will.
You going to be at the Goldwater Rally tomorrow?
You bet.
We went to Spain last summer, and it's like an entirely different country there. I couldn't even find the sound.
Did you see what Jackie Kennedy was wearing?
Yes, I did.
Based on a true rumor, a New Year's Eve ball.
Okay, everyone. 1963 is right around the corner. Grab that special something you love.
It all started on New Year's Eve, 1962, in my hometown of Pasadena, California, when this man and this woman slept together. He was 21. She was 42.
Jennifer Aniston, Kevin Costner, Shirley MacLaine, Mark Ruffalo.
6 months later, the affair ended when the young man slept with someone else. Not just any someone else, the woman's only daughter. As if things needed to get more complicated, 3 days later, the daughter married a different guy. No one was aware of the bride's little fling. No one, that is, except her mother.
Rumor has it.
That could have been the end of the story, but it wasn't. The following spring, a book was published.
The Graduate.
The author was a classmate of the young man. Not the groom, the other one. You know, the one who slept with the mother and the daughter? Names were changed, but that didn't stop all of Pasadena from doing what it does best. Gossip.
And with the Lindis boy, too, her best friend's son.
Jeez. No, I heard it was Mary Beth. With that Bianchi boy.
But Mary Beth doesn't have a daughter.
No, but she has a homosexual son.
Without any prime suspects, however, interest in the scandal quickly faded.
Guess who showed up stewed last week at the Hunt Club?
Presidential candidate Barry Goldwater's on TV.
It was, after all, only a book. Once again, this could have been the end of the story. But then, in 1967, the movie came out.
For God's sake, Mrs. Robinson. Here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. Now you start opening up your personal life to me and tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
The film shows in a cinema.
Aren't you?
Well, no, I hadn't thought of it. I feel very flattered.
And that's how the deepest, darkest secret of one Pasadena family became immortalized. And ever since, people in town have wondered who is the real Benjamin Braddock and who is the real Mrs. Robinson. All this happened over 30 years ago. So what does this have to do with me? To answer that, you'd have to know who I was, which in the winter of 1997 is something I myself was struggling with. Truth be known, I'd been struggling with that my whole life.
A pretty blonde woman stares out of an aeroplane window.
Sarah? Yoo-hoo, Sarah.
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah. Fine.
You don't seem fine.
Oh, no, I'm fine. I am.
Okay, fine.
What was that?
Turbulence.
That wasn't turbulence. That felt mechanical.
That was textbook turbulence.
Okay. You are not a pilot. You do not know that.
Since when did you become afraid of flying?
I'm not afraid of flying. I love to fly.
Mm-hmm.
It's crashing that I hate. I hate crashing.
Baby, where is your engagement ring?
It's in my purse.
What's it doing in there?
Well, you know, how on planes your fingers get all swollen?
Oh, really? I never heard that.
Really?
Yeah.
They do. They get swollen. And fat.
But don't they sort of unswell when you land?
Yes, they do. But I wasn't finished.
Okay.
I was also thinking, this is Annie's wedding weekend. You know, I don't think we should announce our engagement. I don't want to steal her thunder. Why does it keep doing that?
Because we're in an airplane.
Oh, God.
You really need to calm down, honey.
Oh. Want to have sex in the bathroom?
I was thinking more like a hot cup of tea.
Oh, come on, I'm serious.
Baby, it's so cramped in there. They got that harsh lighting.
Oh, come on. It's going to be good. Okay, just wait. Wait a little bit. Come knock three times. This is going to be great.
Sarah,
slim with long dark blonde hair and blue eyes, wearing a camel skirt, a black top and knee-length boots, sashays her way up the aisle to a toilet. Her fiancé, Jeff, watches her go, then gets to his feet. She shuts herself in the toilet. She unlocks the door and lets him into the cramped space.
I said knock three times!
You want me to go back out and do it again?
No.
She leans back against the wall and he kisses her. They turn so she leans against the door.
Oh, sorry, squishing my arm.
Oh, sorry.
Let me just move over here, hold on.
She lifts the seat.
My shoe fell off. It's okay. I'll get it later. Okay. You all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's try again.
Wait, no, on your knees.
Well, come on, why don't you just turn?
Jeff stands behind her.
Oh, no. Okay. Is that better?
Okay.
He lifts her over the sink, her back to a mirror. He sees his reflection and straightens his fringe. Sarah notices.
What?
You're not into this.
What are you talking about?
You
I'm into it.
You are so not into this.
I'm into it.
Okay.
They embrace again till there's more turbulence, then fall onto the toilet and Sarah hits the flush.
Oh, Jesus! Okay, no. I'm being sucked.
What?
And not in a good way.
God, sorry.
Oh, God.
He stands up.
It's not that bad. Did I get any of that blue water on me?
I've never even met the guy.
What guy?
Annie's fiancé. What kind of a maid of honor am I? What kind of a big sister am I? It's not like we have a mother who went with her to help her pick out her wedding dress. And got her something old and something new and something that blue thing.
I really don't think Annie's expecting you to take the place of your mother.
I don't know.
Listen, I hate to say this, but you always get like this just before you're going home to see your family.
I do.
He nods his head.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't fit in with them. I don't fit with anybody.
You fit with me.
Jeff wraps his arms around her.
You okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because I could go tell the pilots to turn the plane around.
Sarah steps back and reaches for a tissue.
So, are we through here?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, I got a plan.
Okay.
You leave. I'll wait here a few seconds, tidy up a little bit. Then I'll slip out very discreetly and pretend like I'm looking for some more almonds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
She squeezes past him.
Okay.
Got it?
Yes.
Okay.
She leaves the toilet and Jeff leans against the wash hand basin, drumming his fingers. The door opens again. Jeff turns to see a large, heavy man back in and stand in front of the toilet bowl.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay.
I was just, you know.
Yes.
I probably should go now.
Yeah.
The plane touches down. In the terminal...
Did I tell you about the tunnels?
The tunnels?
Yeah, there are these tunnels near Dodger Stadium, and ever since we were little, we would hold our breath as we drove through them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my dad still thinks that this is tremendous fun, and he will unquestionably try to involve you in it.
Yes.
Now, you don't have to. Certainly not for me. But, in fact, you know what? I urge you not to do it, because my dad drives like such an old lady that by the time you get through the tunnel, you could just pass out.
Got it.
Okay, now tennis, always a safe subject, always safe. Wine, good. You know, any travel anecdotes, especially Europe, really good. Don't bring up guns or the death penalty. And whatever you do, do not bring up Vietnam.
Why would I bring up Vietnam?
Although, on the other hand, he loves talking about the Civil War and Tina Shiloh.
Relax, it's gonna be fine.
No, I know. I'm just saying, just in case you get stuck.
I'm not gonna get stuck. I'm a lawyer. I talk for a living.
I know, and you're a very good lawyer. I'm just saying that if you get stuck as a last resort, you can always talk about the Rams leaving LA.
Thank you very much.
Here they are.
Daddy!
Here they are.
Hi!
Hey, sweetheart.
Oh.
A tall, balding man hugs her.
How are you?
Great.
Daddy, this is Jeff.
This is the guy you've been hiding from me?
Yes.
Jeff, good to meet you. Earl Huttinger.
Nice to meet you.
So what are your intentions with my daughter?
I know one thing. I'd take her to a Rams game if they were still in L.A.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
How can you call yourself a professional league and not have a team in the second largest market in the country? The St. Louis Rams? What is that?
I can't even say it.
Sarah's in the back seat.
Dad, you are allowed to go the speed limit.
Uh-oh, here they come.
The tunnels!
You heard about it.
Oh, Dad, can we please not...
Three. One, two...
Jeff and Sarah's father breathe in and puff out their cheeks. They glance at each other.
All right, you guys can stop now. Oh, come on, you guys. What are you, like, 5 years old?
They exit one tunnel and head for a second, still holding their breath.
Now they're not alone, you're
Sarah gives in, breathes in, and puffs out her cheeks as they enter the second Pasadena tunnel. Once through, they drive past Pasadena sights like the Rose Bowl Stadium. They drive through a downtown shop-lined street, out onto suburbs with large colonial houses and big gardens.
Jeff? First time in Pasadena?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah, there's an old saying, nobody comes from Los Angeles, everybody comes to Los Angeles. But if you do come from Los Angeles, then you probably come from Pasadena. Case in point, yours truly, not to mention my wife, and of course, Sarah. Oh, there's where Sarah first learned how to ride a bike.
Oh, there's the alley that Bobby Miller told me I was ugly.
Jeff. Jeff.
Yeah.
You fly fish?
No, I never got a chance to do that yet.
Face like a butt, I believe is how he put it.
Well, this summer I think I'm gonna go up to Idaho and fish the Big Wood River.
Oh, sounds great.
Hey, you wanna come with me? Both you guys?
Oh, there's the hedge that I ran away to once.
Wait, you ran away to a hedge?
Yeah, I was 12. That's as far as I got.
She convinced herself she was adopted. I hear the trout up there as big as Buicks.
Passing a Rose City catering van parked at the curb, they turn into a drive. A guy is unloading chairs from the van. They stop at a big, white, wooden, three-storied house.
You're here.
Annie is younger with very blonde hair and in tennis whites.
Annie, this is Jeff, my boyfriend.
Hi! Oh, you're cute.
How are you?
Oh, my God, I'm getting married tomorrow!
Damn.
Baby, they were asking if we should have a second bar out on the patio.
Daddy?
Yeah, I'll take care of it. Whoa. Excuse me. You don't want to kill me before you get paid.
Scott, this is my sister Sarah.
Hi.
Hi, Scott. And her cute boyfriend Jeff.
I know. Good to meet you guys.
We can't get sterling roses for the centerpieces. What about pink or white?
Scott, you pick this one.
Pink.
Let's go with white.
White it is.
So, when are you guys getting married?
We haven't really talked about that yet.
Oh, but you're such a great couple. Aren't they a great couple?
Great couple.
Jeff, Scott, I need two strong men out here.
Oh, sure.
Huh? Jeff and Scott go.
Annie, how are you feeling?
Great.
Yeah, scared?
What? I mean, if I was scared, why would I be getting married?
Well, I mean, people get scared.
Oh, look at you!
Okay, do you want the bow clip on the top or the ribbon on the bottom?
Bow clip, ribbon, bow clip, definitely bow clip, yeah. No, ribbon.
Wow, I don't know how you do all this.
Oh, it's fun. Hey, I have a great idea.
Yeah.
Mixed doubles.
You know what, I forgot my racket and Jeff doesn't really...
Come watch us play.
You know what, we will when we settle in a little bit.
No, sooner.
Okay. My sister, she bounces.
They head upstairs.
So what was that all about?
What?
You just told your sister we've never even talked about getting married.
Well, I thought we agreed to announce after the wedding.
Yeah, announce? You make it sound like I'm your fishing buddy.
I know, I'm sorry. Look, you know, just don't listen to anything I say for the next couple of days. Like you said, just get crazy around my family.
Yeah. Are you getting cold feet? Because if you are, you can tell me, you know.
No, I'm not getting cold feet. I have perfectly warm feet.
Just warm?
Right, they're hot. I have very hot feet.
Yes, you do have very hot feet. Except for that freaky little baby toe of yours.
She opens a door.
All right, I'm in here. Oh, but you're down the hall to the left.
Is that a joke?
It's a Pasadena thing.
What, they don't have sex in Pasadena? Mm.
That evening.
A journalist. Wouldn't your mother be proud?
Well, I write the wedding announcements and the obituaries.
How divine.
You know, there's an old saying. Nobody comes from Los Angeles. They come to Los Angeles.
But if you do come from Los Angeles, then chances are you come from...
Pasadena.
What, you heard it?
Annie and her friends greet another girl.
Oh, Sarah. This is Nikki. She's a bridesmaid, too.
Hi. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Aren't you excited? I'm so excited I can scream.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, limestone. I know I may be in for heartbreak, but I just can't stand tumbled marble.
Sarah, looking decidedly grumpy, goes to the bar.
Vodka rocks, please.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but we've been asked to tell guests to refrain from smoking in the house.
Screw you.
Sarah turns.
Grandma?
An older woman smoking a cigarette.
I told you never to call me that in public.
The two hug.
Oh, it's so good to see you.
Grandma studies Sarah.
You look sensational, kid. On the hard stuff, huh?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, when in Pasadena.
Good point. Una mas, por favor. And get me an ashtray while you're at it.
Yes, ma'am.
So, how's the journalistic career?
Well, it's,
You know, I still pick up the paper every day just to read your obituaries. I'm so thrilled I'm not in it yet.
Well, it's nice to know I still have loyal readers out there.
Lawyer boy, is it working out?
That's, it's okay. We're okay. I guess it's, that's okay.
That's good, huh?
No, it's good. It's good. We're good. It's, it's
come on,
just...
everybody. Dinner's ready. Come on.
You'll tell me everything after dinner. We'll be drunk then, so I'll expect dirt.
I mean, like how he proposed to me last week, and I said yes, and my head has been in a fog ever since.
Outside, now.
Actually, I have been to Pasadena before. I was stationed here during the war at an internment camp just down the block.
Outside.
Oh, gosh. You know, don't get me wrong. Jeff is an amazing guy. It's just when he asked me to marry him, I didn't feel what I think you're supposed to feel. You know, I just felt...
What?
Terrified.
And that's why you said yes?
I don't know why I said yes. No, I mean, I do know. He's smart and he's funny and he's the best boyfriend I ever had.
Well, that sounds awful. No wonder you're so terrified.
No, it's me. It's me. It's all me. And that.
The guests all seated at dinner.
That's Pasadena, kid. It's what happens when you give people everything they want and you leave them alone for 100 years.
I don't know. I just want my life to be full. I want some adventure, you know? And, I mean, how did you feel right before Grandpa asked you to marry him?
I threw up. That's probably because I was pregnant with your mother.
You were pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you married him?
Listen, kiddo, I'm clearly not an expert on love. And I didn't exactly love your grandfather, God rest his pickle soul. But we had something. And I can tell you this, if you love the guy, that's something to hang on to.
I don't know, I guess I feel that if you get married, that's it. You know, you just have a bunch of kids and...
You make marriage sound like a death sentence.
Well, it was for my mom.
What was it? Your mother did not get sick from her wedding vows.
I don't know. I just, you know, I just...
You want more out of your life?
Yes.
Get in line, kid.
Hey, Mr. H. Seen Sarah?
No.
What you doing?
Make a toast. A little nervous.
You'll be fine.
Wish the girl's mother was here. She could always put me at ease.
What would you do?
Just give me a hug.
Jeff puts his arms around Sarah's father, who looks at him strangely.
What the hell are you doing?
Jeff releases him. Outside.
In fact, I think it's normal for you to feel horrible at a time like this. Your mother did exactly the same thing. Before she married your father, she was just...
She waves her arms about.
In fact, she went MIA a week before the wedding.
She did?
I should never drink this stuff without a mixer. Come on, introduce me to the lucky guy. Freezing my nuts off out here.
Wait, Mom went missing?
Well, she just took off to think.
Took off where?
I don't remember. Cabo San Lucas, maybe.
Why would she go to Cabo? Oh, my God, you don't think there was somebody else, do you?
No, she just went away. For your father's sake, we never discussed this much at family dinners. The point is, kiddo, you shouldn't let yourself worry about this thing. If you don't want to marry the guy, don't. If you do, do. If the marriage implodes, divorce. You haven't lived fully till you've been through one of those.
Well, thank you, Grandma.
Happy to help.
They're inside.
Oh, Jeff. This is my, Catherine, my mother's mother. Oh.
Hello. You don't look like a lawyer.
Thanks. You don't look like a grandmother.
Oh, you are a lawyer. Full of shit.
Sarah cringes. Her father stops clinking his glass and faces the guests. He holds his prompt cards close, then moves them away.
playing the trombone.
He stuffs the cards in a pocket. He fastens his blazer.
There are certain moments in time that stick with you forever, no matter how senile you get. For me, there's June 25th, 1963, the day I married Jocelyn. Of course, the birth of both my daughters. And then there's the day that Annie accidentally ate a bug and wanted...
No, your parents didn't waste much time. They were married June 25th, 1963. You were born March 3rd, 64. They didn't waste much time getting pregnant. You never did the math? You were born about 8 months and a week after your parents got married, which means either you arrived early or somebody slipped one past the goalie, you know what I mean?
That's my Annie. One smile and the whole world melts.
I don't think so.
I'm in the 60s.
It's the early 60s.
I'm not saying it was a shotgun wedding. Your mom probably didn't know she was pregnant until after the honeymoon.
Sarah moves her chair towards Catherine.
Okay, you gotta tell me.
What?
Did mom sleep with someone before marrying Dad?
Shh.
What? Come on, you gotta tell me.
What is the matter with you? The Caldwells are hearing everything.
Did mom have an affair in Cabo or not?
How could I possibly know that?
Because you know everything.
I would like to make a toast to the happy couple.
Catherine gets to her feet.
To Annie and Scott. Life is short, but marriage is long. So drink up, and it'll make it go a hell of a lot faster.
Sarah is lying on her back in bed, her eyes wide open. She sighs and twitches her eyebrows. She opens her bedroom door. Wearing a dark blue silky slip nightdress, Sarah tiptoes across the landing to Jeff's room.
Hi.
Uh-oh. I hope you're not thinking of breaking the Pasadena no sex rule.
Can I get in?
You could always get in.
What are you doing?
Well, I was just going over the indemnity provision of this asset transfer agreement, and I was kind of getting turned on, so lucky for me, a hot single girl showed up.
I just knew that she did it.
Did what whom?
My mom had an affair before she married my dad.
Sarah.
Well, I'm telling you, what if it's true? If she had a fling and got pregnant, that would explain everything. Why I have nothing in common with my family, why I hate tennis, why I'm not blonder. Am I overthinking this?
You're not underthinking it.
Oh my God, I'm losing my mind.
You're not losing your mind. You're just having a pre-midlife crisis. It's actually kind of cute. It's charming.
God, I wonder if my dad knows.
Please.
I can't even ask him, because if he doesn't know, I would absolutely kill him.
Please, Sarah.
I bet my Aunt Mitzi knows.
There's an Aunt Mitzi.
Yeah, she was my mom's best friend. I should go see her.
Yes, you should. But first we should break some of the house rules.
Tomorrow I'm gonna go see my Aunt Mitzi.
Bloody Mary is the girl I love.
Aunt Mitzi, a brightly dressed woman, brings Sarah a drink out on a veranda.
Bloody Mary is the girl I love. Now ain't that too damn bad.
Hair of the dog.
So, Aunt Mitzi, apparently Mom disappeared a week before the wedding to think.
Gosh, I don't remember that.
Well, do you remember any men that she may have been associated with back then?
You make this sound like a police investigation. No, officer. The only man your mom ever had eyes for was your father. And Beau Burroughs.
Mitzi drinks.
Who?
Beau Burroughs. He was a year ahead of us in prep. Your mother and I were just gaga for him. You want to see a picture?
The drama scene players 58-59.
That's your mom and me in our town. Or the importance of being earnest, I can't tell. She was a good actress. Shame she gave it up. All women become like their mothers. That is their tragedy. No man does. That's his.
So Beau Burroughs.
Oh, right.
She flips through the album to a fair-haired young man.
Here he is. Look at that face.
Sarah scrutinizes it.
Did she go out with him?
Dated a little. Beau was not the steady boyfriend type. He had lots of girlfriends.
You?
After college. Very casually. In fact, I invited him to your mom's wedding, but your grandmother poo-pooed it. Said an ex-Beau at a wedding was bad luck. Expo.
Sarah flicks through the pages.
Oh, there he is with Charlie Webb. I forgot those two were friends. My drink needs freshening. Yours?
No, I'm driving.
Charlie Webb, why does that name sound familiar?
He was the big celebrity from that class. You know, he wrote that book that caused all that flap.
Mitzi flaps her hand, then blinks and stares.
What?
When did Catherine say your mom?
Right before the wedding.
Mitzi keeps staring.
Did she say she went to Mexico?
Cabo.
Mitzi closes her eyes and goes back inside.
Charles Webb. Charles Webb. Wait, Aunt Mitzi, what book did you say that he wrote?
Sarah stops herself, then looks up, her eyes flickering. In the car, she chews her bottom lip and picks up a telephone. Jeff, fixing a tie, answers his mobile.
Hello?
Hi, I need you to do something for me.
Where are you? Everyone's ready to leave to go to the church.
I need you to go to the video store and get me a copy of The Graduate.
What?
The Graduate, that movie with Dustin Hoffman in it.
Why? Sarah, what is going on here?
Well, honey, I can't explain right now.
Sarah, everyone's waiting in the limo. I can't just go down there and ask.
Please just do it. Please, I'll meet you at the church.
She veers left. God bless you,
please. This is Robinson. Oh, sorry. My bad.
She continues driving. Jeff, clutching a video, arrives at the church in a yellow cab. He runs up the flight of stone steps.
Sarah.
Yeah, come in.
Here it is.
Oh, thank you.
Now we go to two different stores.
There it is. Based on the novel by Charles Webb.
Aren't you supposed to be
out
there?
You've seen this, right?
Yes, a few times.
I need a TV. Do you think there's a TV in this church? Priests are allowed to watch TV, right?
Sarah.
Okay, you know what? Everyone has always said that this is based on a real thing in Pasadena, that someone in town, some family, were the real Robinsons. It's my family, Jeff. We are the Robinsons.
Are you listening to yourself?
Charlie Webb, he went to prep with my mom. He was best friends with this Bo Burrows guy, who I'm pretty sure is the guy that she ran off with.
Bo Burrows.
Yes, and Dustin Hoffman's character in The Graduate was Benjamin Braddock. Benjamin Braddock, Bo Burrows, B.B., get it? Benjamin Braddock, Bo Burrows, B.B.
I got it.
Oh, my God. I mean, my mom ran off with this guy. She got pregnant and then came back to marry my dad.
Maybe got pregnant.
I mean, was she in love with this guy? And if she was, why would she come back? And why has no one ever told me about this?
Most of all, you have to hide it from the kids, cuckoo-cuckoo.
Catherine pushes open the door, hitting Jeff.
Oh, what the hell are you two talking about in here? The wedding is about to begin.
You're Anne Bancroft, aren't you? You're Mrs. Robinson.
Catherine turns to Jeff.
Jeff.
Hmm?
Go play with your dick.
I can do that.
Grandmother and granddaughter stare at each other.
Are you?
Mom liked Bo Burrows. You seduced him, and then she ran off with him a week before the wedding. Isn't that what happened?
I don't believe everything you see in the movies.
Is that a yes?
Yeah.
Catherine is sitting beside Jeff in the church as a bridesmaid is escorted in.
For what it's worth, I always thought that Mrs. Robinson was the most interesting character in the film. Did that seduction scene really play like that in real life, or was that a...
You don't talk.
Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God and before this company of friends to witness and bless the joining together of Annie and Scott in holy matrimony. The union of husband and wife in body, mind, and spirit is intended by God for their mutual joy, for help and comfort given one another in adversity and prosperity, and with the sense of responsibility for this fragile earth, our island home.
The bridesmaids, except for the scowling Sarah, all smile. Next day, she's on the phone.
Pasadena, the number for a Bo Burrows?
Baby. A guy like that wouldn't still be living in Pasadena.
No, that's Bo Burrows. It's two R's.
Jesus! Could you have done any more shopping while we were here?
Okay, well, could you try Los Angeles, please?
I'll be waiting in the car.
Uh-huh.
Jeff takes the cases as Sarah paces the room.
All right, thank you.
Sarah closes her mobile and stares at a framed photograph of a woman and child. Sarah sits down at the dresser and picks up the photograph. She studies it keenly. Annie walks in on her.
Hey, there you are. It's Scott's taking me to brunch at the Hunt Club, so I just wanted to say goodbye.
Sarah turns from Annie to the photo.
Mom always had the softest hands.
Yeah, she was beautiful.
She was. She really was.
Annie looks confused.
I can't believe I'm married.
I can't believe you're married either. I really can't believe it.
You know, it was the strangest thing. I woke up this morning and I looked over at Scott and it was like I was looking at somebody else.
How did that make you feel?
Well, I just realized that, you know, now I'm missing somebody else. Isn't that cool?
Honey!
I'll be right there! Oh, I love you so much.
Oh, I love you too.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Oh, I'm married.
Sarah ponders. At the airport.
Even if we get an expansion team, it's still not the Rams. Besides, it takes at least 3 years to even be competitive.
I don't know, with free agency the way it is today, you guys will be able to buy a contender right out of the gate. Before you know it, you'll be kicking the Rams' butts.
Ooh, I like the way you think. Hang on to this one, he's a keeper.
Sarah smiles.
You okay? You've been awfully quiet.
Yeah, I'm just tired. It's a long weekend.
But a great weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, fly safe.
We will.
Earl,
call me from New York.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Dad.
Earl drives away. Sarah turns to Jeff.
Can I borrow your phone again?
Find anything?
No, they were closed. I want to try again.
Jeff's checking in.
Hi, my name is Sarah Huttinger. I'm an alumna of the class of 82. Hi. Yes, I'm looking for an address or a phone number of a member of the class of 59, Bo Burrows.
She grabs a pen.
So, he's speaking at this conference in San Francisco tonight.
You're unbelievable. How'd you find all that out?
I called his office and they told me.
Genius. So, you can just walk up to him and ask him point blank?
Well, I guess I could walk in and yell, hey, Dad, and see if he turns around.
Yeah.
Oh, am I crazy to do this?
A little. Want me to come?
You can't come. You've got that Chase meeting.
Believe it or not, Chase Manhattan will continue to exist with or without me.
No, you know what? If I'm going to do this, I have to do this on my own.
You know, I never told you this, but they based a movie on my family. Seriously, Titanic. I mean, they changed a little. There was no boat, nothing sank. But I did pose naked for a portrait once.
At the gate.
Okay, here. Take this. Use that from San Francisco. You sure you don't want me to?
Thanks.
Go find him. Stop being confused.
Sarah half smiles. Jeff leans in and kisses her.
Remember, I don't care who gives you away.
They gaze at each other, then Jeff walks away. She places the ticket in her bag and waves to him. She checks her bag again.
Oh, Jeff, I have your phone.
She turns away and puts it in her bag.
Okay. Well, hello, Mr. Burrows. I think it might be my dad.
We've heard a lot today about revolution. The coming information revolution. The coming internet revolution. You know, Che Guevara, he used to describe revolution as a turn of the heart.
Sarah walks past the conference registration.
I'm sorry. This conference is only for registered participants and the press. I'm the press.
She searches in her bag.
Che, as you know, is trained as a doctor. And when a man of science speaks in such figurative terms, one wonders exactly what he has in mind. As something of a dilettante Che biographer, I have my own theory. I think he was talking about something he'd seen perhaps many, many times in his life, the mystery of recovery. That moment when a patient decides, despite everything, to live, to overcome his suffering and will himself back to health. That was a revolution to Che, a willing of the unimaginable into existence. Ladies and gentlemen, the internet revolution, it isn't coming. It has arrived.
Sarah, in the conference hall, fixes her eyes on Bo. She joins in the applause.
But once it's in the computer, they need you.
She attends a reception.
We just secured the domain name lobster.com. Viral, you could market it in stealth mode, or you can do both.
I got this from very high up. AOL and Time Warner are talking merger. It's going to change the world.
Cellulose Tech is the third multi-billion dollar company that you've created, taken public, and sold in less than 10 years. You have a problem with commitment?
Well, there's two schools of thought on that one, John. I mean, first, some people think that my attention span's too short for a day-to-day manager, that I'm only interested in the launch, the action. And the second school of thought is...
Sarah nearby watches him.
What was the question?
So what's next?
He reads Sarah's press pass.
Miss Huttinger, how are things in New York? Always happy to have the Gray Lady represented. Any questions?
Not just yet.
Bo, I need you for a minute.
Will it wait?
Afraid not.
I apologize. Miss Huttinger?
This is huge. It's the search engine to end all search engines. I've been dealing directly with Ken Patterson on this, and believe me, I've been pounding the guy.
And?
And he's agreed to give up 30% of the company for $100 million. Both Goldman and Morgan Stanley are drooling to take this public.
Miss Huttinger.
She's hovering.
Excuse me. When you have a moment, can I speak to you?
Of course.
Bo.
I'm not interested, Roger. How can I help you?
I have a question I would like to ask you.
Bo, your 100 will be $2 billion in 18 months.
Sarah Huttinger, Roger McManus. Roger's one of the most powerful men in this conversation, which has just ended. Roger, I'm out.
Okay. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah.
Bo takes a drink.
Okay.
Thank you. So, Miss Huttinger, is this on the record or off?
Oh, off. Oh, off, off. Yeah, I'm not here in a professional capacity.
Good.
No. My mother was Jocelyn Richelieu.
He stares at her.
Wow, you're Jossie's daughter.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And you've...
He looks more closely.
Wow. Hey, I'm... I feel sorry about your mom. You must have been very young.
I was 9.
She was a good lady.
He stands awkwardly in front of her under her intense scrutiny.
So you're a journalist now?
In a manner of speaking. But I do have questions that I would like to ask you.
About?
About what happened back then.
Between your mother and me?
And you and my grandmother.
He splutters into his drink.
I also know about the book. And the movie.
You have anywhere you need to be right now?
Mm-mm.
In the bar.
So, you've read the book, seen the movie? Pretty much how it was. They did take some creative liberties, though. I didn't exactly graduate from college, but I suppose the dropout would have made a lousy title. And the ending, obviously, I did not run off with your mother.
Sarah gazes at Bo.
Your purse is ringing.
She picks up Jeff's phone.
Do you mind if I...
No.
She steps away from him.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I have your phone.
Yes, I realized that when I called myself and you answered. So I just landed. Where are you?
I'm here. Yes. With him.
Bo orders another drink.
Listen, hey, if you need my phone, I think it's still in the charger in my apartment. I just...
Wait. You're there with him right now?
Yes.
Did you ask him?
Not yet. No, I'm kind of leading up to that.
Why? Don't be scared. Whatever happens, it's going to be fine.
Please call me when you find out.
Okay, I will. Bye.
As she rejoins Bo, he gets to his feet, fresh glass in hand.
Sorry about that.
They both sit down on the sofa in the lounge bar. She reaches for her drink. They both sip, somewhat awkwardly.
Did you sleep with my mother? In Mexico? Cabo, the week before the wedding.
Yes.
Did you wear a condom?
And I Why would you possibly want to...
She tilts her head to one side.
Oh. Oh, no.
I was born March 3rd, 1964, just shy of 9 months after my parents' wedding, so it's pretty much a coin toss between you and my father, and I don't look like him, I don't vote like him, I don't drive like him, and I think that maybe,
Sarah, I'm sorry that this didn't occur to me before, that you might be thinking this.
But it's possible. Even if you used one, no. It is possible.
No, it's not.
Of course
it's
it is.
Not possible.
Condoms break all the time. They slip right off. I mean, especially if you
Sarah, it's impossible for me to father children.
What? Are you sterile?
Hey, great speech, Bo.
Yeah, nice job. Good
Very inspirational. Thank you.
The well-wisher wanders off. Bo grins at him, then turns to the intense-looking Sarah.
Yes.
But maybe not 30 years ago.
39, to be exact.
Well, how? How do you know that?
Blunt testicular trauma.
What?
My junior year at prep, I was goalie on our soccer team. We're in the city finals, tie score. This guy comes in all alone. I go out to break up the play, and just as his leg swung back, I dove. And let's just say that he kicked the wrong ball.
He takes a drink.
Blunt testicular trauma. And that made you sterile.
I'm afraid so. Sarah, I'm sorry I can't be your father.
Okay. Thank you.
They both rise.
It was nice to meet you, Mr. Burroughs.
It was nice meeting you, Miss Hettinger.
Goodbye.
They shake hands, and she walks morosely away.
Blunt testicular trauma.
A trolley car passes the front of the hotel where Sarah is standing deep in thought. She wraps a shawl over her shoulder as she stands with her back to the hotel entrance. Bo emerges from the hotel and saunters up beside her. She spots him and turns her head away.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm good. Everything's very clear to me now. You know, I came up here looking for answers and I got them. Absolutely nothing in common with my family, and yet they are my family, which is great. This is good. My mom ran off to Cabo and had a fling a week before she was married, and then went back into a loveless marriage, which was, it's her choice. It's fine. It's fine. I just now got to deal with the fact that I am in a career that is going absolutely nowhere. And a guy who is terrific, and he wants to marry me, and I theoretically want to marry him. So, yeah. It's good. It's pretty good. Right?
Her full smile fades, and her eyes water.
God, it's a great city, huh?
She covers her face and sobs. He places a hand on her shoulder.
Sarah,
I'm so sorry.
No. Hey, that's okay. That's okay.
I'm so sorry. That's... I didn't mean to do...
Look.
I don't even know you anymore.
It's gonna be... Hey, it's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. Okay?
God!
Come on, let's cheer you up. Cheer you up?
She nods. Chinatown. A colorful parade is underway.
Hey, is that an actual elephant's tusk?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. You see all those little etchings?
Yeah.
You know how they always say, like, elephants never forget?
Right.
Not true. They have it all written down.
Oh, huh. Smart elephant.
Hey, wait. Sarah, I have an idea. You go with me?
Okay.
A little longer?
Yeah.
They're in a restaurant.
You know, sir, you're not the first person to harbor anxieties about their future.
was literally the poster boy for that sort of thing.
Well, so how did you figure yourself out?
Well, I screwed up a lot. Lived abroad a while. Mm-hmm. Did an enormous amount of drugs. Mm-hmm. Joined an ashram. Mm-hmm.
Doodled grandma.
They've moved to a downtown bar and are drinking beer.
Then someone told me the most profound two words I'd ever heard. Be present. So now, all I ever worry about is my immediate universe, which presently consists of you, me, and the deafening silence coming from that jukebox.
He saunters across to a jukebox, his shirt hanging over his trousers. Sarah watches the TV. President Clinton's on the screen.
Do you know him?
You know, I'm not sure anyone really knows him. I spent time with him.
Beau puts down his beer and drags her to her feet.
Where are we going?
He leads her to the jukebox and spins her round. They dance closely together, her left hand resting on his right shoulder.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
What happened that weekend with Mom? Skipping all the intimate details, of course, but what happened that weekend in Cabo?
My parents had a house down there. I was staying by myself pretty much loafing the summer away when Jocelyn, when your mom, just showed up. We had a little history together back in high school. For 3 days, all we did was swim and laugh, and I taught her how to surf. Yeah. Then one morning I woke up and she was gone. Back to Pasadena to get married. I didn't even know that she was engaged. Yeah. Those were probably the three happiest days of my life. It's the only time I can remember ever feeling really peaceful.
Well, why do you think that she went back?
Security, maybe? I don't know. She never said.
They gaze at each other.
You know, I can see a lot of her in you. She was a very beautiful woman. So are you.
Her eyes still on him, she swallows.
I have to pee.
She turns from him and walks away. He runs his hand down his shirt front, then sticks his hands in his pockets. In the ladies' room, Sarah leans on the washstand basin. She looks at her reflection in the mirror. She primps her long hair and places her hand to her forehead. She smooths her hair with her fingers, wipes her left eye, then adjusts her dress. She looks serious.
What?
Coming out of the ladies, she walks straight into Beau.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
He tries to pass her in the corridor.
Well.
They're face to face. She kisses him.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I can't believe I just did that. So inappropriate.
She grabs his face and kisses him. He responds and the kiss becomes an embrace. A terrace overlooking the ocean. A bedroom overlooking the manicured hedges of the terrace. Sarah lies asleep in bed on pillows with the initials BB embroidered on them. She wakes and frowns. Her eyes fall upon the double B embroidery.
Cannot stand the sunrise.
She closes her eyes, then buries her head in the pillow and shakes. Clutching the covers round her, she sits up and looks around the room.
Give me back my time.
She closes her eyes, then opens one, screwing up her face as she does so. She struggles to slip on Beau's blue shirt. The sleeves are too long. She pulls it round her body. Amongst the photographs on a side table is one of Beau with Bill Clinton. Sarah walks away from them, then does a double take at another photo, Beau with Fidel Castro. Sarah saunters past an oil painting and heads for a door in the window which leads out to the terrace. As she opens the door, she turns on hearing the cell phone, which rests on her bag on a chair. She rests her head against the door frame, then walks out onto the terrace. The terrace has low hedges and a path leading to a circular wall, in front of which Beau balances on his head with his feet in the air.
Morning.
Morning.
Best hangover remedy I know. 5 minutes with your feet over your head, followed by a 3-mile jog, then a quick swim in the ocean. It's better than coffee and aspirin. Want to try?
She screws up her face.
You want coffee and aspirin?
She nods vigorously. Sitting at a table overlooking the ocean, she gulps down water to swallow the pills.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She drinks from the mug of coffee he's handed her. The breeze blows her hair about.
Good coffee.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sarah glances all around her.
Where are we?
We are in Half Moon Bay. It's about an hour south of the city. San Francisco. Anything else I can get you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Eggs, orange juice, paramedics.
She looks away from him and up to the house.
Well, I guess I better go. It was really nice to meet you, Mr. Burroughs.
It was very nice meeting you, Miss Hattinger.
Well, goodbye.
He stands with his hands resting on the table and watches her go. She closes the door, then reopens it.
I don't have a car here, do I?
Nope.
Would you mind giving me a...
Sure, but let's grab a bite to eat first. It was
just... They drive in a convertible with the roof down.
I need to say something to you. What you told me last night about your life in New York, your job, the guy, suggested that it wasn't anything to rush back to.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say
that. Look, I realize it's a bit awkward given, well, everything. But last night, it was, last night was pretty spectacular for me. What I'm saying, Sarah, what I'm trying to say, Sarah, is that I like you very much, I suspect. And I'd like you to stay if you felt like you could.
Stay?
Yeah, as in not go. You don't like the idea.
Well, I just sort of...
She looks around.
I thought we were going to eat.
We are.
Morning, Mr. Burroughs.
Morning.
The car pulls up beside a private jet.
Just a quick trip up to the wine country and back.
Well, do I even have a choice in the matter?
They're in the cockpit.
So what do you think?
I think I would feel safer if that guy was sitting up here instead of me.
There's a suited man in the cabin.
You think I'm too old for you, don't you?
No.
Then?
You've slept with my mother and my grandmother.
What's your point?
My point, I mean, this is not normal. I mean, you know what, you are too old for me. I mean, obviously, I am very confused right now, and last night was some sort of, I don't know, rite of passage. Maybe every girl in my family has to sleep with you.
Well, I don't know if they have to, but they certainly have.
He pulls back the controls and the plane lifts off the runway. What is my name? Who is this fool? What is this game? What are the rules? They fly over the countryside, then drive alongside a lake in an open jeep. Dust is kicked up by the wheels as they motor under an arched entrance to a ranch. Beau shows Sarah the horses in stables. Pasadena girl. They feed a couple of horses whose heads are poking out of the stalls and saunter through gardens. The cell phone is ringing in her bag, which is indoors. Jeff paces about his apartment with the phone to his ear. He strides across to a desk, carrying the cordless phone, sits down and dials a number he reads from a file on the desk.
O'Burrow's office.
Hi, this is Jeff Daly again. I'm sorry, who am I talking to?
This is Candace.
Hi, Candace. Listen, can you tell me where he is? I really need to reach him.
I'm sorry, I can't give out that information.
I know, Candace, you told me that before, but this is kind of emergency, okay? I am looking for my fiance, Sarah Huttinger. She's supposed to be with him. I haven't heard from her, and I'm starting to feel like something happened to her.
At some point, I have to get back.
No, I gotta get back myself. I got this, ball to go to.
A ball? People still go to balls?
They do to this one. It's the biggest charity event of the year. It's Casablanca night.
They're sitting on the bonnet of the Jeep, overlooking a vineyard.
Why don't you come with me?
No, I can't. What? No, I'm sorry. Because I've got work. I've got to go back to work. You know, I can't have people dying anonymously while I'm off dancing at some fabulous, exciting ball.
All right, let me make a proposal. Why don't you come with me tonight? After the party, I'll fly you home. Really, I have to be on the East Coast anyway. I can just stop and drop you off in New York. It'll be no hassle, and you'll be there by morning.
She closes her eyes, then bursts out laughing.
I know this must seem nuts to you, but life should be a little nuts. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of Thursdays, you know, strung together.
She raises an eyebrow. A white stone building with a tall tower reaching up into the night sky. A Rolls-Royce with white trims on its wheels pulls up at the entrance at the foot of a flight of stairs. Sarah is in a slinky, ice-blue, body-hugging gown. Beau in a white tuxedo helps her from the back seat. He smiles broadly.
You look beautiful.
Thank you.
They make their way along a high-ceilinged hall with servants in Moroccan dress standing beside two pillars. They have a drink in front of a neon sign which reads, Rick's Cafe American.
Okay, who else?
Okay. You see that guy with the comb over?
The one talking to the woman with the back cleavage?
He owns half of downtown San Francisco, and the guy next to him, he owns the other half.
Okay, how about the guy with the George Hamilton tan?
She points him out to Beau.
That's George Hamilton.
Oh.
At their dinner table.
No, you're not going to get me there. I don't go to the movies anymore. It's all special effects, and all they do is blow things up.
I know.
They used to make movies about real things, about people. Not anymore.
Like Chinatown.
Yes.
That's a movie.
Oh, I love that movie. I didn't understand a thing that happened, but I loved it. My sister.
Hey, how about Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
Yeah.
Is that a movie?
Catherine Ross. I was in love with her.
You want to talk about Catherine Ross? The Graduate. She dropped dead gorgeous?
Let me tell you something about The Graduate that very few people know.
Sarah and Beau stare.
Was Richard Dreyfuss's first movie. They had one line. Can I get the cops? I'll get the cops.
Hey,
he said it to Norman Fell, the guy from Three's Company.
That's right.
In the boarding house, right?
Later, they're at a craps table. Sarah throws the dice.
Literate the horn.
They stand watching a magician wearing a fez. He conjures a white dove from a red scarf. Sarah and Beau are dancing when McManus rushes up.
Hey, Beau.
Patterson's here. If you go over and talk to him, you could close this thing in 3 minutes.
Remember Sarah Huttinger?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Nice to see you.
I'm really not interested.
3 minutes. All right, 3 minutes. It's 49% for 75 mil.
Beau stops dancing.
Any chance we can get controlling interest?
That's a deal breaker.
We'll see.
Go.
I'll be right back.
Fine.
Beau and McManus head off, leaving Sarah in the middle of the swirling dancers. Sarah sits at their circular dining table on her own, sipping a glass of wine. Behind her, couples move around the floor in a slow dance. A young man with blonde hair, a heavy growth, not quite a beard, in a DJ with an open-necked shirt, sits down at the table and eyes her up.
What's up?
She turns to him and smiles.
Hi.
She turns away.
It's your first Casablanca night?
Yeah.
Cool.
She flicks her hair from her eyes and turns away again. He strokes his chin.
Is that your real hair color?
What?
No, it's good. I mean, you know, it's silky and shiny. You could be a good hair model.
Thank you.
Sure. Wanna have sex?
Excuse me?
I'm kidding. I was looking for my father. This is supposed to be his table, but I don't see him anywhere. So if he comes by, tell him that Blake was here for me, would you?
Well, who is your dad?
Bo Burrows.
Blake walks away from the table.
What? Wait! What are you saying?
Babbling.
I thought he didn't have any children.
At least one. Oh, champagne guy.
Blake follows a waiter.
Okay. Just because he's not sterile does not mean that I just had sex with my... Oh, God.
Oh! Bo strolls up behind her.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Hey. I'll bite.
She spins round and flinches.
What was that?
He mimics her flinch.
Are you okay?
She backs away.
Hey, Pops.
Blake. Welcome back. I thought you were coming home next week.
No, today. Came home today.
Sarah, this is Blake. He's my...
This is your son.
Right, he's in from Africa.
Oh, no, it's Asia. I was in Asia, Dad.
Asia, right.
We need to talk.
I know.
Alone.
I know.
We need to talk alone right now.
Okay.
She strides off, then turns.
Blunt testicular trauma?
Ouch.
Come on.
Heads turn. Bo grabs Sarah by the arm and hustles her along.
You have a child. You have a son. You are a sick man. This isn't The Graduate. This is Deliverance.
Calm down. There is a simple explanation.
Is he adopted?
No.
Then you are a sick man. I am a sick woman. We have done a very sick, sick
Blake
thing.
Blake is not my biological son.
Oh my God, I'm going to need so much therapy. What did you just say?
I said that Blake is not my biological son, nor is he adopted. My first wife, Cynthia, very much wanted to have children of her own. I, of course, could not do that for her, so we used an alternative method. A donor.
A donor?
A donor. So technically, Blake is not my son, but his mother and I chose never to tell him that, which I would appreciate if you would do the same.
Of course I won't.
They stand side by side.
But you're still sterile, right?
No, I lied. I made up this whole story just so that I could have sex with my own daughter. Oh, what kind of guy do you think I am?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I called you a sick man. You're not a sick man. You're a very nice man.
Thank you.
He steps away and places a hand over his mouth.
Very charming. And generous.
He turns his head to look at her.
And smart. And accomplished.
He indicates with his hand for more.
And a good pilot.
And more.
Very handsome.
Apology accepted.
He leans in and kisses her. He takes her in a passionate embrace. Across the room, a figure stands watching.
I hope that's not your father.
They turn to Jeff, who shakes his head.
Jeff, what are you doing here?
I don't know, Sarah. I thought something might have happened to you, but apparently something happened to me.
No, Jeff, wait. Jeff, wait. Jeff, please wait. Jeff.
What?
Okay, that wasn't... I didn't kiss him. He kissed me.
Did you sleep with him?
I didn't mean to. I know. God, Jeff, I was so drunk. I don't remember anything, and I know that's an excuse, but I mean, it's kind of an excuse. Jeff, I love you.
No, don't say that. Don't you say that. Now, I don't know what game we're playing here, Sarah, but obviously this engagement that you and I have entered into has absolutely no meaning to you.
Jeff, I'm so scared.
I'm tired of scared.
No, Jeff, please, just please listen to me.
What?
I know that you hate me right now. I hate me right now. I'm insane. It's like I've been possessed by this other person who's terrified and scared and just screwed up. I know we're good together. You're the only person I can be myself with, even if I don't know who the hell that is.
Then marry me, Sarah, right now.
She stands in front of him and stares into his eyes.
Wrong answer.
Jeff brushes past her and walks away. She turns and watches as he marches towards the exit. She swallows, brushes back her long hair with her fingers, then turns to look at Beau, who takes a few paces forward. She shakes her head and walks off in the same direction as Jeff went. Beau, his hands in his pockets, watches her leave, then lowers his head. Sarah sits alone in an airport lounge with only a cleaner vacuuming the carpet behind her. A plane taxis past. Sarah's in a cab which pulls up in the street in front of a pink two-storied mansion. Catherine opens her front door.
Sarah.
I found Beau Burrows. I didn't know where else to go.
Come in, I'll put on a pot of bourbon.
Sarah's showering.
And I just stood there. I just stood there and I let Jeff walk away. I mean, why? Why couldn't I say yes? Grandma, what is wrong with me?
There is nothing wrong with you, and don't call me Grandma.
Oh, I'm such a mess.
You are not a mess. You are a human being. You made a mistake. People make mistakes. Sometimes life is just...
Beau Burrows! What the hell were you thinking?
What were you thinking?
I wasn't thinking.
Well, I wasn't thinking either.
Well, what was he thinking?
Nah, we know what he was thinking.
It's not his...
It is always his fault. Of course it is. He is nothing but a horny bastard.
Me, Grandma, it's me!
Don't say that!
Why not? It's the truth! I'll say it again! It's me!
It is not the truth! Hello.
You know what? I have happiness staring me right in the face, and what do? I stare right back at it!
Catherine, I need some help. Annie's hysterical.
Annie, why? Moment. What happened?
She had an anxiety attack on the plane to Belize.
And you know why? What?
I don't know. Why?
What? Are you talking to me?
No, I'm talking to Sarah.
Because I am my mother's daughter!
Sarah's there?
Sarah's there?
Sarah's here.
She wasn't happy.
Your mother was happy.
She was not happy. She found out she was pregnant and left the love of her life to come back and have me.
The love of her life.
This is my fault.
I want to talk to Sarah.
She wants to talk to Sarah.
It is not her fault.
It is. It is my
it fault. Is not. It is not.
Catherine.
Yes, it is. I stole my mother's happiness.
Catherine.
You did not.
I did.
Catherine. She wants to see Sarah.
Annie wants to see Sarah.
Danny.
Listen, sweetheart, maybe Grandma.
No, I only want to talk to Sarah.
She only wants to talk to Sarah.
She only wants to talk to Sarah.
She wants to talk to me.
At Elle's front door.
Hi, Annie okay?
Oh, she's upstairs.
We're making her favorite soup. Tomato with crumbled crackers. You want some?
No, I'm okay.
I thought she was in New York.
She had a fight with Jeff and she never got on the plane.
2 days ago, I thought I had two happy daughters.
Things are never what they seem with the women in this family.
Catherine follows Scott. Upstairs, Sarah opens Annie's bedroom door.
Annie? It's me.
Annie lies in bed, her back to the door. Sarah pushes the door wide open and enters the room. She sits on her sister's bed.
Annie. How well did you know Mom?
Annie, her eyes red with tears, turns over to face Sarah.
I can't remember her. I was only 4. Was she happy?
I don't know.
She always looked so happy in pictures. She married so young. I always thought that, you know, if she was Abby, then maybe I would be.
Honey, what happened on the plane?
I just stopped breathing. Mm-hmm. We were over the Gulf of Mexico on the way to Belize, and I just stopped. I kept thinking that I've ruined my life, that I've married someone I like to play tennis with, and that's all I'll ever do, and I couldn't breathe.
I know the feeling. Annie, let me ask you a question. When you and Scott play tennis, do you guys have fun?
Yeah.
When you guys go out to dinner?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. When you watch TV?
We like the nanny.
Nanny's funny. You know, honey, sometimes I just think it's more important who we're with than what we're doing. And if you're gonna marry someone, may as well be your best friend.
Yeah, like you are with Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm such a mess. I'm the most screwed up person in the world.
You're not even the most screwed up person in this room.
Oh, really? I spent the first night of my honeymoon in the Houston airport under heavy sedation.
Oh, yeah? Well, did you sleep with a man who also slept with Mom and Grandma Catherine?
What?
Sarah points to herself.
You slept with Dad? Dad slept with Grandma Catherine? Oh, ew!
Oh, no, God, come on. Even I'm not that twisted.
All right, from the beginning, and don't leave out a thing.
No, the Xanax is from my other granddaughter. We're talking about Sarah here, the one from New York. But she broke up with her boyfriend. She needs something stronger. Fine, I'll hold. Here, you're on hold.
Catherine hands the phone to Earl. Catherine carries a tray through into the dining room. Staring out of the window ahead of her, she stops, lays the tray down, and walks to the window. Outside, Beau is sitting in his Mercedes.
Son of a bitch.
She goes to the front door. She glances to her right and stares at her reflection in the hall mirror. She walks over to it, studies her face, then reaches down for a pair of sunglasses. She straightens her top and opens the door.
Oh, Jesus.
Catherine stands one hand on her hip and the other leaning on a pillar in the porch. She swaggers down her path as Beau climbs out of his convertible.
Hello, Catherine. You're looking well.
Go shit in your shoes.
Mrs. Richelieu, are you trying to seduce me?
You weren't that good the first time.
She wrenches off her sunglasses.
How dare you? Sarah, you couldn't stop with Jocelyn, could you? Almost ruined my daughter's life.
She pushes him against the bonnet.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Catherine.
Get down.
Hold on, Catherine. Ruin her life. What movie are you living in now, Catherine? I didn't pursue Jocelyn. I don't recall inviting her to Cabo. And I didn't pursue your granddaughter. I think she managed to come 500 miles up to San Francisco on her own looking for me. And we both know that I sure as hell did not pursue you.
Wow. I know.
Wow.
I know.
Sarah sits, facing Annie, on her sister's bed.
How come we've never talked like this before?
I don't know. I've always wanted to.
Me too.
I love you, Annie.
I love you too.
The two sisters hug. Sarah sees Catherine and Beau through the window.
Oh, my God.
What?
It's him.
Who him?
Him?
Oh. Now, just stop. I mean, this isn't about Sarah, and it isn't about Jocelyn, is it? This is about you.
You're goddamn right it is. You dropped me. You dropped me for a newer model. Do you know how old that made me feel? And you realize when you did that, that I was 13 years younger than you are now.
I don't know, Catherine. I haven't done the math.
I suppose everyone needs someone in their life to let them know when youth has come to an end.
And here she is. It's your turn.
Sarah comes out.
Are you okay?
She's fine.
Is she happy to see me too?
Bo, you should not have come down here.
Why not? He's been everywhere else.
So what's going on out here? Lawn party?
Earl. Daddy, this is Bo Burrows. He was a schoolmate of Jocelyn's.
Oh, yeah, I know you. Bo Burrows. I've never forgiven you.
Okay, Daddy.
No, this man haunts my dreams. City soccer final. Playing Pasadena Prep, tie score. I make it around the last defender. I'm flying down the field to kick the winning goal. All of a sudden, this maniac.
That was you?
You broke my heart. But I gotta give it to you. Hell of a save.
The two men shake.
You were injured in that play, weren't you?
Yeah.
What are we all standing out here for? Bo, you wanna come in the house?
No, thanks. I just stopped by. Sarah, could I have a word with you out at the car?
Sarah brushes past him.
It was nice seeing you again, Catherine.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful catching up on old times.
Earl? Jay!
Hell of a save.
Earl feigns a kick and Bo winces. They shake hands again.
Whoa.
Catherine places her hand over her groin and scuttles back inside, following Earl. Bo strolls over to his car. He leans against the frame of his windscreen and Sarah walks up to him.
Why did you come down here, Bo?
Well, for one thing, you left last night without saying goodbye.
I know. I'm sorry. I know.
I didn't come for an apology, obviously. Your life's more complicated than you've let on. I don't know what's going on in your relationship, Sarah, and I'm not even going to ask. I came down here because I wanted to tell you something. When I saw you walk away last night, when I watched it, it might as well have been Cabo 30 years ago. I didn't tell you the truth before. I was awake when your mother left. I watched her drive away in this old wood-paneled station wagon. It looked like she was crying.
Sarah clamps her lips together, then looks up at Beau.
I'm not my mother, Beau. You know what I realized as I was coming back down here? I'm a year older than she was when she died. I mean, you have no idea how strange that feels. And I've spent so much of my life trying to figure out who I am. I don't think I realized I was just trying to find her. You know, but that's just chasing a ghost. You know? Maybe we're both just chasing ghosts.
Bo turns and leans back against his car. He looks at Sarah, who gazes into space.
You're not going to say this could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship, are you?
Wrong movie.
Well.
It was nice meeting you, Mr. Burroughs.
She extends her hand. He takes it.
It was nice meeting you, Miss Hettinger.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Earl carries cases downstairs.
Kids, let's go. You're going to miss the plane.
Coming! Oh, did you remember to pack the binoculars, honey? We might see monkeys.
They're still in the bag with all your shoes.
Annie sees Sarah.
They're going to have a great time. Just remember to keep breathing.
Yeah, you too.
You are such a lucky girl. Most people wait 10 years for a second honeymoon.
Hey, kiddo, you sure you don't want to come with us?
No, I think I'm just going to stay here.
But you're off. You'll find another man to screw things up with in no time.
Thank you, Grandma.
Catherine catches a glimpse of herself in the hall mirror and puts on her sunglasses. Earl carries two mugs of tea from the kitchen over to where Sarah is sitting.
So do you think Scott and Annie are going to make it to Belize this time?
I certainly hope so.
He joins her at the table.
So,
What are we going to do with you?
She toys with a mug in her hands as her father sips his tea. Earl smiles at his daughter.
Dad, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Before you and Mom got married, do you remember if Mom sort of took off for a few days?
You mean when she went to Mexico?
Yeah.
With Bo Burrows?
Yeah. You knew about that? Daddy, why didn't you just say something?
What for? I got your mom. He didn't.
Earl looks down and Sarah turns her head away.
Did she ever tell you why she came back?
Mm-hmm.
He nods his head repeatedly.
Because she loved me. She said that while being with Beau was an adventure, she knew that she could build a life with me. She apologized. She offered to tell me everything that happened, and I didn't need to know. As long as she was back.
Tears well in Sarah's eyes, and her lips quiver.
Come
here. Earl holds her hands in his.
Now, this may not be the sort of thing that you want to know about your parents. But the night that you came back is the night we conceived you.
Sarah gives a tight-lipped smile and fights back the tears.
Lucky for us, we were married the next week, so nobody noticed.
She wipes her mouth and nose.
Daddy, I don't understand. Why are we so different? I mean, I don't like tennis. I drive like a crazy person, and you always drive so slow.
I only drive slow, sweetheart, because you're in the car with me.
Sarah gazes at him through her moist eyes, then her face crumples.
Dad.
She clasps his hand and kisses it. Sarah looks pensive.
Take me to the airport.
You gonna get on the plane this time?
I promise.
Come on.
On the plane, most of the passengers are asleep, resting their heads on pillows. Sarah sits by a window staring into the distance.
You are the light I follow. You are the face of a faith I love. Oh, my darling, believe.
She strides out of the airport terminal, her bag slung over her shoulder, and pulling her suitcase behind her. She beckons a cab, stuffs her case onto the back seat, and climbs in beside it.
You are the kin of an Indian love, my darling, the fever.
The taxi drives across the steel cantilever Queensborough Bridge. He draws up outside an apartment building with the number 685 on the canopy above the entrance. Sarah climbs out. A doorman in a maroon coat and hat takes her bag. Sarah walks out of an elevator and down a hall. She stands outside a door. Jeff opens his door to her. Surprised to see her, he licks his lower lip as he watches her.
If you shut the door, I understand, but I really hope that you don't.
The two of them stand face to face, their eyes flitting from side to side as they study each other's expression. Jeff opens the door wide, then leans back against it, his arms folded. She walks past him and into the apartment. Sarah rubs her hands together, then brushes them on her jacket as she walks to the center of the room. She hitches up the strap of the white bag over her shoulder, straightens her jacket, then turns to face Jeff, whose arms are still folded over his chest.
I know there's nothing that I can say that will take away...
Then don't try.
She nods her head, which is tilted slightly to one side.
You know, I never told you this, but when I was a kid, I was in a car accident when I was 10 years old. And I smashed my head on the dashboard and cracked my skull, split it open from here to here, 17 stitches. And I never thought that I would long for that day until now.
It didn't mean anything.
It meant something to me. Words mean something to me. Engaged means something to me. It doesn't mean maybe I'll get married. It doesn't mean I'll see how I feel. I don't know. I'm not sure. And it definitely doesn't mean I'm gonna test the waters and see if there's somebody else out there that I like better. It means that you fall in love with the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with and that you actually want to marry them.
I want to marry you. I'll marry you next month. I'll marry you this week. I'll walk out of this apartment right now, and I will marry you.
It doesn't work that way, okay? You can't just walk in here now and tell me that you can't live without me and expect me to what? What am I supposed to do with that, Sarah? I'm supposed to make it all right for you? I can't anymore.
I don't want you to. I love you. I didn't come here to tell you that I can't live without you. I can't live without you.
He sees the tears welling up in her eyes.
I just don't want to.
Jeff looks away from her and fights back his own tears. Covering his eyes, he turns away from her. Then, folding his arms again, he leans back against a door jamb. He glances at her, then turns his head away. Sighing deeply, Sarah steps forward and strides past Jeff. She opens the apartment door. He stands, arms folded, as she pulls the door shut behind her. Sarah walks down the hall towards the elevators. She presses the call button, then her face crumples. She stands up straight. She steps into the elevator and turns round as the door slides shut. Leaning against the rail on the wood-paneled elevator, Sarah, her long hair lying over her shoulders, looks miserable. She furrows her brow and stares into space. She looks up and sighs. She reaches the ground floor. Jeff is in front of her. She stares at the breathless Jeff.
One condition.
Her face is taut.
If we have a daughter, Beau Burrows doesn't come within 1,000 miles of her.
It stops with me.
Jeff nods, smiles, and enters the elevator. They kiss.
On a cold January night in the city of New York, this man and this woman slept together. They also slept together the next night, and the next night, and the next night, and the next night.
Their wedding.
In the name of God, I pronounce you.
Now it takes more than a robin.
They're in the garden of her father's house.
And it takes two lips of fire.
Jeff hugs his father-in-law.
Thanks. Thank
you. Well, it takes.
You're gonna have to stop.
Two hearts of cooking to make a fire.
Jeff kisses Earl on the cheek. Later, bride and groom cut the cake.
You've got what it takes.
They place a piece of cake in each other's mouth. Sarah kisses Grandma Catherine.
To make the romance sweet. Ooh, it takes love.
Sarah stands with her back to the bridesmaids and tosses the bouquet. It lands on Catherine's table. Catherine flicks her cigarette ash on it. A caption reads, "No real people are portrayed in this film. This is a fictional film inspired by something that supposedly happened a long time ago." A heavily pregnant Annie dances with Scott. Sarah dances with her dad and Catherine with Jeff. She grasps his buttocks. Bride and groom dance together and wave.
You know you've got just what it takes, because it takes more than an effort.
ITFC audio description by James O'Hara was read by David Vickery. That a lifetime.